Oh, glory to God. Glory be to God. Where would we be without our Heavenly Father? Bible calls him the Father of spirits. Praise God for our Father. He's a good, good Father. In every way, he's been good. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. Happy Father's Day to you, Lord. Amen. All right, a quick announcement here. Earlier on this year, one of our ministers, Minister Brian, put together a three-part video lesson on how to overcome pornography, overcoming the pornography crisis in the church. I think it's what you titled it. And we wanted to make it our special Father's Day treat. Earlier this week, we put that out. I think it's on most of our platforms now, right? It'll be there today. Okay, it'll be there today. And I want to encourage this. Something I've listened to. It's really powerful. And he speaks from the heart. He speaks not just from someone who's trying to teach theory. He speaks from experience and the Word of God. And I believe that this will be an absolute blessing to all young and older men, as well as parents of youth. You know, sometimes parents think, oh, yeah, you know, they need to do that. You need to listen to this. Fathers and mothers, I'll say mothers especially, actually, because generally I think he gives a lot of insight, not necessarily all like practical things. I think he says a few things about practical helps to parents. But he gives a lot of insight to help us understand some of the things that go on with this whole pornography thing, sometimes why men are so caught up in it, and how to be free. And so sometimes, you know, a young man may not be willing to listen to a three-part lesson, you know. An older man may not be able to go through the entire thing and check scripture, chapter, and verse, and all that. But this can empower you. This can empower you as a parent, if you're willing to go through it, to know how to help, how to offer help. And you might be able to just kind of put things in like summary form where it's in bite sizes for them and you can help them. Now, I know that a lot of young people too, especially young men, would rather not speak to a parent, you know, if they're grappling with stuff like this, especially from a certain age, you know. But even then, there's a lot of insight in there that can help us know, okay, how do we direct them? Like who might we direct them to, and how might we get them the help that they need? So I strongly encourage that every one of us take advantage of this video series, and I know we will be blessed by them. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Oh, am I excited about open heavens beginning next Friday.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so thank you, Father, for helping us with the word today. Thank you, Lord. I saw a poll earlier this week by AP. I think it's AP News. And I don't know how many of you read this news article, but this news article said, it says something, it was talking about happiness. It's a poll that says that Americans have not been as unhappy as they are today in 50 years. That we've hit a 50-year mark in our level of unhappiness. It's an AP. I had it right here now because of the so many messages that I've received, which I haven't read most of them. I'm struggling to find it. But don't worry about it. There's actually just one part of that poll, one thing that they said there that I wanted to highlight. And Lord, thank you for helping me find this. I've got to find this because this is something that I need. So, but I was jogging in one of our neighborhoods earlier this week, and I saw, you know, nowadays people put all sorts of things in front of their yards, you know, with the quarantine and everything going on. And in this particular house, they had this sign up. So those of you who are online probably see this already, but in the studio we have a delay, so we can't see it yet. But I was jogging past this thing, and the thing caught my attention, and I really liked it, so I thought, I'm going to use this too as part of my message. So this is a, Noah, you guys can see it. Yeah, it's not up there yet, all right. But if you're at home, you probably can see it already. It says, Noah survived fifth grade and the quarantine, 2020, ready to take on middle school. Oh my goodness. When I saw this, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, how old can Noah be? Noah just finished fifth grade, right? So that's like 10, 11, they're about 10, about 10-ish. And I thought, think about this. Even 10-year-old kids are deeply affected by what is going on around the world right now. Look at that message. I mean, think about this. This is about a tent. So this Noah lived in that home. That's Noah's home. And this is probably, this is Noah's parents that put this together, right? They are celebrating that Noah survived fifth grade and the quarantine, and he's finally ready to move on to middle school. I mean, so this isn't a one-sided crisis. This is something that is affecting everybody, almost everybody in our society. Older people, you found the AP. Thank you. Older people are grappling with the difficulties of. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, poll. Americans are the unhappiest they have been in 50 years. And there's, like I said, there's just one little section down there I wanted to highlight to you. let me read that part to you directly. Here it is. It says, Americans are more likely to report feelings of isolation and loneliness. Americans are more likely today than ever before, at least in the last 50 years, to report feelings of isolation and loneliness. You know, we do have our current Abundant Life Today podcast. We've suspended. We did the first set, but we have another set ready. Ready. It's recorded already. It's on joy. And I think that's another 5 parts, I think. We're probably going to do that in the summer. So we'll give a 2 or 3 month break, and sometime from July, we'll start putting some of those out. But I really love it. You know, we have to be able to stay in the joy of the Lord in our lives, regardless of what is going on in our world. You know, the world, just by virtue of the way the world is, that podcast, by the way, is titled Joy in the Morning. Joy in the Morning. Joy will come in the morning. But the key to joy coming in the morning is you have to rejoice through the night. That's the key. If you will learn to rejoice through the night, joy will come in the morning. Now, you know, we have to learn as a people, God's children, the church, believers, and human beings generally, we have to learn how to stay in joy in spite of whatever may be going on in our lives around the world. We have to learn how to stay happy. And that brings me to the first part that I was going to talk to you about, on simplicity. Somebody said, simplicity is the key to happiness. Let that sink. Simplicity is the key to happiness. One of the things we have allowed, like I said, I'm not preaching to you, I just really want to just talk to you from my heart. One of the things that we have allowed to happen to us as human beings is we have allowed life to become unduly complicated. Life, for most people, life is unduly complicated. Life really should not be as complicated as a lot of people make it. God created life to be very simple. Very simple. Life began for man in the Garden of Eden. That was it, plain simple. He created that garden. He put a man and a woman there, told them how to live and how to enjoy life. He left. And the key to enjoying the happiness and the joy that the first man and woman had in the Garden of Eden before the complication of the enemy came is to tap into the principle that God gave them when he put them in that garden. This person said, simplicity is the key to happiness. Now, you may also have heard this. There's a popular saying, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's a popular saying. You Google it, you see that. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. You know, sometimes just the best things, the easiest things, the most peaceful things are the simple things of life. This person who wrote this article, I'm going to read just the first five paragraphs of this article to you. Just five, but I'll read them very slowly. I want you to listen very carefully. It says, when asked what is the fundamental objective of life, the vast majority of people answer quickly and definitively that it is happiness. What is the fundamental objective of life? Happiness. That is, everything we are all trying to do is to get to happiness. We want to be happy. We get into whatever, you go to school, because you have this dream, you become, so that you can be happy. You get into relationships because you want to do this and that, so that you can be happy. You start a family because you want to be happy. You go into ministry because you want to be happy. Because you want to fulfill destiny, you want to be happy. The ultimate or the fundamental objective of life, really, is happiness. It's happiness. Now he says, true and lasting happiness isn't the result of accumulating more. Happy people are aware that happiness comes from what's generated inside and not from their outside environment. This was not written by a Christian, by the way. This principle obtains, this is a life principle. Now, if you dig into the Word of God, you will find out the Word of God actually gives credence. The principle is built solidly on the fundamentals of the Word of God. I mean, think about this. What is the first three identified fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Think about that. So happiness is not a result of accumulating more in life. Happy people are aware that happiness comes from what's generated inside and not from their outside environment. Our world is like a huge marketplace, and temptation is everywhere. Stuff costs money. But it can also cost us emotional currency, because we may start to see that what we own are more valuable than the people in our lives. And when we start to think that way, we start losing the true value of life. When you begin to prioritize things over people, when you begin to, the push for things and the push for even what we call life accomplishments and life goals, must never exclude people. Because think about this, as a pastor, I have had the opportunity to sit by so many people on their way out, on their way out of the earth. Obviously, I've done a lot of funerals. And I've had the privilege of counseling a lot of people on their way out. I've had the privilege of sitting with a lot of people and just listening to them talk as they get ready to leave. Never in all my years have I heard anyone on their way out of here talking about the things they have accumulated. I've never heard it. Ever. One of the reasons why this pandemic was so evil, was so difficult, was so bad for many people, is that even when a lot of relatives passed on, their family could not be around them. And what you find out is, as you approach the twilight seasons of your life, you begin to find out the things that are most important are really people. I'm yet to find someone on their way out of here talking about where they walked, how many years they walked, where they walked. I mean, they'll talk about it every now and then, but you see, so at the bottom, the most important thing to most people is people and happiness. And peace and rest of mind. That's the simplicity of life, my friends. He said, this is the point when people become vulnerable and they become very unhappy when they begin to replace things with people or people with things. He said, it's time to slow down those constant desires to buy things and start investing in yourself and your relationships. We chase after the material by investing long hours in work, juggling complicated schedules. Listen to that. Complicated schedules. Lengthy to-do lists. We get caught up in making a living instead of making a life. You know, the tragedy of that is a lot of people actually die in the middle of all that. You see, most people who are doing this stuff constantly think there is a time when I'll make a life with the people that are important in my life. Unfortunately, number one, a lot of them don't even survive that long. But those who do survive that long get on the other side of their journey and find out those people are not there. They are not there. Because life is a journey, not a destination. Sometimes we can get so deceived. This is why, did I read you that scripture? I told you I had two scriptures to read. And I said, I'm not preaching. Tell me, if I start preaching, just tell me, slow down, drink some Kool-Aid. Pastor, you say you're not preaching today. You want to talk to us from the heart. That's all I really want to do. I just want to talk to you from the heart. I just want to share within the last 2 weeks, some of the things that the Lord has burned so strongly in my heart. We can get very easily deceived into thinking that the accomplishment of goals is what creates happiness. No, the accomplishment of goals adds to happiness that is already there, if it is there. If happiness is not there, no matter how many goals you accomplish, you still will not be happy. What's going to happen is you are going to keep moving that goalpost. You are going to keep saying to yourself, well, the reason I'm not yet happy is because this is the only one I've accomplished, but I've not accomplished the other one yet. So you move the goalpost from here to there. I'm going to start trying to accomplish that one. But guess what? When you get to the other one and you've accomplished it, you find out you are still not happy. Because happiness is not a product of what is going on outside you. Happiness is generated on your inside based on what is going on inside you. And it's only when Those things that are inside you, when they found their rightful place, that the things on the outside can add to the joy and the happiness of living. There's a deception that works with that. I've got to leave simplicity in just a minute here, so I can move on to something else. There's really a deception, and all of this is actually tied together, because when I talk to you about fathers and shepherds, you see, essentially, it's the same thing. I'm going to come back and talk about these same things I'm talking about right here, right? Because a lot of the plague that is in our society today and that is around the world is really because people have misplaced what is really substance, what is really real, for ephemeral. And there's a lack of understanding. I know there's a lot of prayer, and we should do our part. We should keep praying. We should, you know, it's a lot of talk about racism, racial injustice. I've given two Wednesday services to talk about that, so I'm not going to talk about that here. I don't want it to take my time, and it's true. But I tell you, there are other epidemics that are fanning some of the things that are going on within our culture, and we have to address some of those things. Because even if we were, for any reason, be able to, let's just say for you know, one way or the other, we're able to accomplish this racial equality, racial justice thing, those fundamental things within our culture, if they are not addressed, these problems will not be solved. We're just going to move from talking about racial justice to talking about something. We'll move the goalpost. Because the fundamental thing that is responsible for the value and the quality of human life within the cultures in the society are lacking. And if those things are lacking, we're not going to be happy. I'm way ahead of myself here. But just think about this for a moment. Fathers are shepherds. If you've watched the video of George Floyd and his death, the last few minutes of his death, for me certainly, and you know, like I told us, you know, I mean, I try to see beyond just what everybody's looking at. One of the things that broke my heart the most about that video, everything about it was just so wrong, but one of the things that broke my heart the most was that a 46-year-old man, at the point of death, is crying for his mother. A 46-year-old, 46. He's not 16. He's not 6. He's not 26. He's not 36. 46-year-old man, at the point of death, crying for help. And who does he cry for? His mother. And I had to ask myself, where is the father? What happened to the father? See, to start with, God never even gave mothers the responsibility of protection. Fathers were given the responsibility of protection. But the reason a 46-year-old man at the point of his death is asking for his mother is because that's who's protected him all his life. That's who he knew to run to. That's who he knew to cry out for. The one who was actually assigned to protect him from birth probably never took his place. See, we sometimes can complicate life, and we lose the fundamentals of creation. We lose the fundamentals of life. We lose the essence that God created with life. Simplify your life, folks. And I encourage you in this message. That's part of my revelation from last Sunday. Simplify your life. I mean, you can have all these computer systems that can do all these crazy things. I mean, you can amass them. You can buy all the best of them, and they can do that. And yeah, you can feel good. Man, yeah, look at what we... And there could be something very small that can allow you to walk in and walk out and do exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Which for us is really being in the presence of God, worship, fellowship, preach the word, get the word out as clearly as possible, and go on. And I heard that deep in my spirit last Sunday. Simplify your life. We try to satisfy ourselves with sensory pleasures, hoping that they will bring us closer to a state of peace. However, true and lasting happiness comes from removing things we don't need, not hoarding them. Happiness comes to us when we detox ourselves from fear, doubt, negativity, and expectations. Beyond that lies a state of mind defined by purity, where joy exists in its purest form. I think I've read enough of this because I have less than 30 minutes to go, so I'm going to move to something else. But a few years ago, the Lord actually told me this, and I've deviated from this rule over and over, different times. But it had to do with simplicity and complications, right? And he said this to me, and you've probably heard me say this maybe years ago. I may have preached on this. He gave me a life rule. He said, if anything you are involved in or pursuing or trying to accomplish seems complicated or complex in any way, surely you are missing God somewhere. If anything you are trying to do or pursuing or trying to accomplish or whatever seems complicated or complex in any way, surely you are missing God somewhere. And then he said this, you need to make a change, because God won't change. And what's the change? Simplify your life. Simplify your life. All right, let's talk a little bit about fathers as shepherds. Now, you can... Oh, did I read those scriptures that I was going to... You know, this is where I usually say, put up for me. This is usually the point in my message where I go, put up for me the message translation. No. Do you have NLT? I love the NLT there. Can do that today. All right. So if you have a Bible, you should read this scripture. This is good. I want you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Just read it. It's just one verse of scripture. I'm going to read it with you here. And I'm going to just very simple read the Amplified. Sorry, read the King James. Very simple. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. He says, but I fear, this is Paul, Apostle Paul, great apostle, writing to the church in Corinth. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived, the word beguiled is deceived, as the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's very easy to think, you know, sometimes people tell me who don't have time, can't spend time with their little children, growing children, can't spend time, go to the games with the children, can't spend time, take them, go with them to church, can't spend time, sit around the word of God with them from week to week, explaining things to them, can't spend time doing things and instructing those children in the things they need, especially fathers. You know, there's this thing about, yeah, you know, we have to make a living. I have to provide for the family. I have to work 2 more jobs. And I have to, you know, we have to be able to pay the bills. And on and on and on like that. There is a simplicity of life that is missing when we substitute the primary with the secondary of life. Certainly, I know the pressures of life exist for all of us. Things can get very tough and very crowded, and schedules can be mean. But in order to enjoy the simplicity of life and to have peace and joy and happiness, we've got to be able to focus on what is really important. What is really important? What is really important is what is really important, our being able to get that next big car that we need to pay more money for? Is what is really important our being able to get that next big house? You know, I'm going to say something that may shock you, but it's in the Bible. It's in the book of Proverbs. It may not be a bad idea to live in an apartment if you are happy there for a while. If buying a big house can complicate your life because you are buying it at the wrong time, you may want to hold on and enjoy that apartment, but enjoy life with those that you have been blessed with. And then trust God that when that time is right, once the time is right and he opens the door, then you go get that next big house, which you need, which your family needs. But it's not always a bad thing to live in an apartment. Love, joy, and peace in a small bedroom. In a small bedroom together with your loved ones may not be a bad idea. If having this mansion is separated all of you, you're all strangers living in this big house, and everything is mine and mine and mine and mine and mine and mine. Well, in the one-bedroom apartment, there was no mine. You know, you get up from here, you move there, sit there, sit there, sit there. Where's space? Sit there, sit there. That's it. You may want to simplify your life. Some people say, well, but we're not happy. No, the reason you are not happy is because you are comparing yourself. I don't have too much time here. Simplify your life. Go through, and I started doing that, actually, from after that service on Sunday. I started going through, started combing through everything. Everything in our personal life, my personal life, everything in the ministry, everything I'm involved in, finance, everything. And I started saying, we're gonna make that simpler. We're going to simplify this over here. This one is too complicated. We're going to simplify this. This doesn't need to be that hard. We're going to simplify this one right here. This one over here, we're going to change this. See, because ultimately, happiness is not based on the complications we have in our lives. Happiness is based on the reality of the freedom of peace and joy that we're experiencing. And it doesn't matter where it is. I found that you can be happy in a basement. You can be happy in an attic. As long as it is home, you can be happy. You can be happy as long as it is home and as long as it is a good home. So let me leave that. Let me leave that. My time is going. Simplify your life. Simplify your life. Let's talk real quickly but fathers are shepherds. Now, oh, there was one other scripture I was going to read. Timothy. Did I read 1 Timothy? This is the point where I go, put up for me. I can't read it quickly, but put up for me 1 Timothy 6, 5 to 8. But put that up. Excuse me. Read. Open that. Simplify. The preaching to the preacher. Simplify your life, preacher. 1 Timothy 6. I want you to listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 5. Maybe just the latter part of verse 5 is good. And then I really want to read 6, 6 and 7 and 8. Let's read the latter part. The latter part of verse 5 says, so let's read from the beginning. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing, this is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, watch this now. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, let us be therewith content. Do you know that most of the people who are unhappy in the world are not unhappy because they don't have food and clothing? The reason for most people's unhappiness has nothing to do with food and clothing. Actually, I've heard the statistics as well. Some of the poorest countries in the world actually are in the top bracket of the happiest countries. So what is it then? So a lack of materialism, a lack of all of this stuff, and yet people are still happy? People crack jokes. You know, you see some of these videos, you see some of these humorous things from some of these countries. I mean, you will laugh and you will tumble on your head and on your... You will laugh. You can't even imagine how people come up with this stuff. And yet we say they don't have money. And yet you see some of the people in the wealthiest countries in the world, they can't laugh. They can't laugh. People are mean. Do you ever go jogging? I go jogging all the time. Jogging, walking, I go on trails, I go in neighborhoods. That picture I showed you earlier was in a particular neighborhood. I go in neighborhood and I'm very careful. Usually, as a black man, you have to be careful how you go in neighborhoods, especially if it's predominantly white. How you go, but I take all my precautions, right? It's very obvious I'm jogging. I don't go on detours on my jog. I may stop to take a picture, but I do it with my phone and I lift up the phone like this so everybody can see I'm taking the picture. I make sure I have my joggers on, you know, joggers, you know, everything. But then I also carry a pouch to give the impression that I might have a weapon in my pouch. That's right. So, think twice before you accost me. And I'm always smiling and I'm always waving. Hello. Sometimes people don't even respond to me. I just go, hello. Hello. I'm a happy man. And I'm the happiest when I'm jogging, truly. With all the air, with all the green, with everything. I'm truly a happy man. I'm truly a happy man. That's as simple as it gets. Amen. All right, I detoured. Help me. Where was I? I detoured. Keep it simple, preacher. I detoured. Where was I? Huh? People are unhappy. They are unhappy not because they don't have... Thank you. They are unhappy not because they don't have food and clothes. Why are they unhappy? It's things. It's stuff. It's stuff. Yeah, thank you. That's how I got into my jogging stuff. Because thank you so much, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Because you know when you go on trails and when you go and walks and stuff, you meet people. A majority of the people I meet are unhappy. They've got everything. They have all they need, and yet they can't even smile. They can't even wave. Sometimes you even go hello, and they go. Why is he happy? He probably is looking for something. No, I'm not looking for anything. I'm just happy. Hallelujah. Just happy. They have all this stuff. They drive the biggest cars. Have you seen them? They drive the biggest cars. They have everything. But they can't smile. They have no peace, no joy. Simplify your life. All right. All right. Fathers are shepherds. This one, let's call this one extremely short, okay? I've already said some of the stuff that I would have said. You know, when you think about a shepherd, that's who a father is, right? I was going to read a couple of messages here. I don't have the time to get to that. Fathers are people who are devoted, committed to walking through life with other people that God brings into their lives. Other people that God brings into their lives. Whether he brings them directly, biologically, or he brings them supernaturally, or brings them professionally, or brings them any other way. People that God brings into their lives. They walk alongside with them. They commit time. They invest time, invest resources to provide the six things that a shepherd provides for his sheep. What are these six things? Number one, direction. Fathers provide direction. A true father must provide direction for his children. Notice all these things require time, require commitment, require focus, and require understanding. A true father. I said I wasn't going to read, but let me read two. Yeah, I said I wasn't going to read, didn't I? I'm going to read two, a number of messages, but I haven't seen most of them. But I picked one. I got one very early in the morning, just as I was getting going. And I want to read one of those, and I want to read the one from. Let's read this one from our son, okay? This is from Mr. Emmanuel David. I really love this one. Good morning, Dad. Happy Father's Day. I'm so thankful that God made you my father. In a world where many black young men grow up without a father, I'm grateful that I've had such an excellent father figure to guide me. I love you. Have a great day. Thank you. It's a lovely message right there. I want to read one from one of my spiritual sons here. He's one of our ministers. I love this one. I was just getting out of my prayer thing early in the morning, and this one was like my socks pulled themselves out of my feet quickly, just like that. I was so excited. And there's an early greeting there. I didn't take permission, so I'm not going to mention names. When I was at the bottom of the barrel of my life, Jehovah sent me to you, a father like I've never seen. You stepped in and taught me how to be a good man, a good father, and a good shepherd. I just cannot fathom my life without you in it and all that has transpired as a result of Jehovah leading me to you. Thank you for caring for me and loving me so much. I'm eternally grateful for you. Happy Father's Day. Oh, man, that just made my day. That's just as I was getting going and getting mad. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it was the use of the words, similar words, you know, because I was going to talk about fathers and shepherds, right? And he used the same words right there. So you try it one day. Get out of bed and you get something that just blows your mind. Your day is already made. It's like no matter what the devil throws your way that day, you are good. You are good to go. Amen. Fathers are shepherds, right? Fathers provide direction. They provide provision. They provide restoration. They provide protection. They provide promotion. And they provide preservation. Preservation. I don't have the time to talk about it, but think about this. A lot of our black men, young men, who are dying early is a mark of a lack of preservation. One of the reasons for that, I call this fathers. You know, we'll talk about so many things that are systemic, but let me give you something here. systemic absentee fatherism. That's what I call it. Systemic absentee fatherism. That is, fathers are just not there. And the cycle goes on and on. There's already a 16-year-old male child right now who's already going to have a baby. Going to have a baby with a 15-year-old girl. I saw them recently on the street. They already have one baby in the stroller. They have another baby coming, a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old, and they're happy as they can be. But you know what? They are set up for a life of misery because they don't know what it means to be a father. They don't know what it means to be a mother. They understand the pleasures of the moment. They understand some of the benefits of the moment, but life is going to toughen up very soon. Things are going to happen. Things will change. Their circumstances are going to be different from the way they were when they got started. And then comes the pressure. And fatherhood just stays there and says, I'm committed to the preservation of the lives of my children. I'm committed to the protection of my children. I'm committed to the provision that my children need. I'm committed to giving them godly direction. I'm committed to making sure that they are restored when they make mistakes. They're going to trip up, but I'm going to be there to hold their hands so that the enemy doesn't blow out and snuff out their candlelight. I'm going to be there to restore them. I'm going to make sure that they find the right way. And I'll be there every step of the way. Even when they grow old, I'll be there. I'll be around them. One day, I showed up unannounced in our son's college. First year, freshman, he was freshman in Northwestern University. I've said this before and he corrected me. He said, no, it's not true. He said he was not pleased when he saw me. But he said, no, it was just cold. Fine, I take that. But to me, he didn't look like the happiest man. Because, you know, he found out strangely. Here I was, showed up on the campus, and I FaceTimed him. And, you know, I thought I was in Rochester with Christine. And I deliberately, as I was FaceTiming him, I allowed him to see in the background some of the structures on their campus. And at a point, he said, Dad, Rochester looks awfully close to our campus. I said, yeah, it's very close. I said, it's very close. I said, it's very, very close. He said, wow. And as I panned the camera further so he could see one particular building, he saw that building and said, Dad, are you here? I said, yes, I'm here. I said, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. So he came down and, of course, you know, he said he was battling with a cold, but he just didn't look too excited to me. But, you know, it was nice. He was going to study in the library or something. So, you know, and I made my point. And we fellowshiped a little bit and we said our goodbyes. And guess what? 1 week later, he sent me a photograph of a car that looked like mine. He said, Dad, are you here again? I said, not yet. Not yet. He said, well, I'm passing by this car. And I thought, and he was laughing. And I thought, he got it. Right? He got it. Because what was the point? The point was I wanted him to know. I will come. I said, get used to this, son. I will come. So now, he sees it and he's happy. Right? Well, not happy like, you know. But at least he's comfortable. Like this crazy man can show up anytime in my car. Better watch out all these cars that I see that look like my father's car. You know, fatherhood is an investment and a commitment. Even when they grow older, even when they have their space. But you have to constantly be there. You have to be around. You have to be available. I don't care what the career is. I don't care how much that career is paying you. It's not worth it. Because one of these days, you're going to open your eyes and you're going to find out, I wish I was there. You may have all the money. I know that because I grew up in a family like that. You may have all the money. You may have all the convenience. You may have all the luxury. You may have everything. But if you were not there for your children, if they couldn't tell you made sacrifices for them, and I'm not just talking your biological children. I'm talking the people God brings into your life. The people God brings into your life. I called one of my spiritual fathers yesterday. The Lord had just helped us send him a seed. Send him a seed. Never asked for it. He never asked for it. Just send him a seed. Earlier in the year, I really wanted to send that seed. For some reason or the other, all the doors were shut. I just couldn't find the seed. And I even promised, I said, I'm going to send this seed. I just couldn't get it. Finally, the Lord said to me, I didn't want you to send it then. And at the beginning of this month, the Lord said, I want you to send it this month. And I looked at her and said, Lord, where is the seed? I said, you watch. And as the time approached, I didn't see the seed. I didn't see any seed. I'm going to take this step of faith. Took the step of faith and sent out the seed. And he was so excited. He was so happy. I said, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He didn't ask for it. Thank you. And in the twilight season of his life, nothing means more than having people remember you. Remember you. Remember you. So fatherhood takes time. It takes an investment. It takes a commitment. I gotta close. Psalm 23 is a psalm of fathers. You have to be there to preserve their lives. All these young black men that are being killed, one of the reasons is because their fathers were not playing the rightful roles that God gave them. At some point, somebody ought to stand around that young man. Say, I'm not going to let you touch my son. You're going to kill me first. Kill me first. Then you can kill my son. Many of those young men never had anyone like that in their lives. They never did. In their most vulnerable moments, didn't even know who to cry out for. Fathers are shepherds. The greatest compliment anybody can give you is not that you were rich, you're wealthy, you had a great profession, had a great career. Greatest compliment you can get as a man is that you are a good father. It's a good place to stop because it's already 1 o'clock. I had those 7 nuggets, but I guess the Lord will give me. Actually, there were 18 altogether, but you know, I was going to do the first 7. But you know how it goes. If I start with the first one, I'm going to take 30 minutes on that one. And then by the time I get to the second one, it'll be 2:30. And I won't close. But I think that today, I already said everything the Lord wanted me to say in this service. I think so. It's a good place to stop. Amen? Amen. Would you join me and let's... Would you stand to your feet, please? Let's take a moment and pray. I want us to pray 2 things. The first one is I want us to pray for ourselves, and I want us to pray for the people that the Lord's put in our lives, and I want us to ask God for simplicity. I want us to ask God for the grace, the wisdom, and the ability to create simplicity in our lives. These complications are killing us. These complications, so many people that are dying before their time because they, with their own hands, have created complications in their lives. I want us to pray. And if you are joining us at home, please, this is a moment I want you to pray. There's someone you know, there's someone in your life, it might be you. So life has become so complicated that the simple things don't even exist anymore. Life has become so complicated that the simple things are not there anymore. Would you pray, Lord, help me. Help me simplify my life. Help me see what you see. Help me keep the main thing as the main thing. Help me, Lord. And then there might be somebody that comes to mind that you know. Someone in your family, a friend, a colleague at work, someone at church, a minister, a pastor, a leader somewhere, a professional leader, someone who's close to your word. I want you to pray, Lord, would you please help them? Help them simplify their lives. They're making it too hard. The Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Help them make it easy. No, life shouldn't be that hard. We don't have to fight over everything. We don't have to be hot-tempered and hot-mannered all the time. We don't have to be frustrated and aggravated all the time. No, life does not have to be that hard. Lord, would you help us? Would you show us? Help us. Whatever we need to do to simplify our lives, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. Whatever we need to do to simplify our lives. Whatever we need to do to simplify our lives. Whatever we need to do to simplify our lives, Lord. Whatever we need to do to simplify our lives, oh God. To make it easy. To make room for love. To make room for joy. To make room for peace. To make room for happiness. To make room for harmony. To make room for growth. To make room, Lord, for freedom, for liberty. To make room, Father, for order. Lord, to make room. Keep the main thing the main thing, Father. Help us, God, esteem people over things. Help us see you in people that you made. God, help us see that everyone that comes into our lives is a gift from God that we are supposed to invest in. Help us see, Father, that the people you send to us who need our help, who need our grace, who need our protection, who need our mercy, these are not people to be used. These are not people to be abused. These are not people, Father God, to trample down upon. These are people to love. These are people to be good to. These are people, God, to favor. Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Now, one last thing. I want you to pray for men. I want you to pray for men. Pray that our men, the ones in your lives, the ones you know, the ones that you have been associated with, or even the ones that you've heard about, pray for men. That the Lord will use men to turn around this demonic, this devilish epidemic in our society. This destructive pandemic of absentee fatherism. Men not having the heart of a father. Men not having the heart of God. Men not knowing how to prioritize. Men not knowing how to keep the main thing the main thing. Men not knowing how to value people over things. Men not knowing how to spend quality time.
developing those godly, those God-ordained relationships, helping to form those lives, helping to shape those lives. Men who will be shepherds just like God. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When a father is in our lives, we will not want for any good thing. When a good father, a good godly shepherd father is in our lives, we won't lack for direction. We won't lack for preservation of life. We won't lack for protection. We won't lack for restoration. We won't lack for promotion. We won't lack for any of the good things that has been ordained for our lives. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise. We honor you and we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Give me a minute. I just want to pray for someone who's on the other end of this camera today. Someone who is torn and who's aware of the life that God wants them to live, but just don't know how to live it. Someone who's excluded God and the simplicity of Christ from their lives, and they're struggling and wondering how to make their lives right. Usually the beginning point is a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, you may. All of that may be true. But you may have wandered away from the simplicity of Christ. You may no longer be in tune with the life of Jesus that is available in the Word of God. So give me an opportunity. If there's someone out there, I'm going to pray with you. And all of us are going to pray together. So this will not be just you praying. But this is an opportunity for you to come back and make it right with the Lord and hook up with Him and make His presence the primary pursuit of your life again. So if there's someone there, just repeat these words after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge my own failings. My own short-handedness. I can't save myself. I don't have the power to make me what you created me to be. But I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, He died for my sins to make me whole again, to make me like Christ today. I open up my heart and I invite you, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, precious Holy Spirit. Make me new again. Touch me afresh. Do something new in my life. I renounce sin and I renounce Satan. I accept your plan for my life. From this moment onwards, I declare I'm done with Satan's plan. I'm on your plan. I'm on your side. I'm in your place. I'm with you. I thank you, Father, for accepting me as your child. I give you praise because from this moment onwards, I know I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Just a prayer. Just a prayer. Father, I thank you for everyone here under the sound of my voice. Everyone here in this studio. Everyone across on the other side of these cameras. Lord, we've heard your word today. I pray, God, for my brothers and my sisters. As your word has registered as seed in a good ground, Give them the wherewithal to move forward in destiny. Lord, where changes are needed, give them the grace and the wisdom. Help them know what they need to do. Give them the ability that they need. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, like you cause your light to shine on my path, cause the light of God to shine in their hearts in the next few days. Give them inspiration from heaven. Show them what they need to see. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. I call everyone blessed, all of their loved ones blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. I pray for our young men. I pray for our young men. In this service, I use Nate and Edie as a point of contact to pray for all our young men, everyone connected with us. These ones are under the shadow of the covering of the Lord. These ones are, they are here under the shadow of the covering of the Lord. I use them as a point of contact to every young man out there that at some point or the other received the seed of the gospel. Let that seed begin to speak in their lives in the name of Jesus. Those that need to be restored, let them be restored. Those, God, that need to be changed, let them be changed. Those, God, that need to be delivered from yokes and bondages, let them be delivered from yokes and bondages. I pray the protection arm of God. There's a young man out there right now that is in harm's way. God, send forth your angels to keep them, to shelter them, to overshadow them, to protect them. We plead your mercy, O God. We plead your mercy, O God. Enough of this bloodshed, O God. Enough of this evil bloodshed of the enemy. We reject, O God, this continual plan of the enemy to take the precious lives of our young men. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Would you help me bless the name of the Lord? He's so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our praise.